All right. Today is February 8th, 2017. This is an interview with Archie Simonson. My name is Troy Reeves. I'm with the UW-Madison Archives. And Archie, could you, for the recorder, could you say your name?
Archie Evans Simonson.
Thank you, sir. And also, Tara Gensky is here.
That's me.
She might be asking questions, too. So, Archie, my first question is, what brought you to the University of Wisconsin?
Well, let's start in the beginning, in the very beginning. You know, I was born in Baraboo. My dad was quite an athlete at Baraboo. He won 14 letters in high school. Make a long story short. And he decided to go to La Crosse, Teachers College, you know. And my mother was his high school sweetheart, you know. When you graduate from the college, he got a job in Richmond, Indiana, to coach and teach in Fayette, basically. And so that's where I lived, and that's where I grew up, and whatever. I was in high school, and I got drafted out of high school. I never finished high school because I got drafted. But I got my diploma anyway because I had credits enough to qualify for graduation. So those of us in high school had that history. We got drafted anyway. I think the law was passed by Congress like in November of 42. I'm not sure of the date. But I turned 18 in December, Christmas, I was drafted in January, and I actually reported to Indianapolis. My folks took me to Indianapolis to be inducted. Well, during my service, my mom and dad. He retired from teaching and coaching by that time, and they decided to go back home here because all our relatives, grandparents, and aunts and uncles, all the Simonsons were here. So he came back. Well, when I was discharged out of the service in 46, in March or April or something like that, in 46, I had no place else to go, but I had to come back home, which moved back here to Madison. Mm-hmm. And of course, I wanted to go to school, and that's how I got to Madison.
The short way around.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so you went from Richmond, Indiana, through high school. You were drafted into the military. You served a few years there, and then you came back to Wisconsin.
Few years in the service, yeah.
Okay. What branch of the military were you in?
Well, if you want that information,
unless it's confidential, of course.
No, it's not confidential. I was a lab tech. And I went to school for training in Springfield, Missouri. I forget the name of it. To learn to be a lab tech, and I worked in the service as a lab tech, and then I went overseas to New Guinea, and what year was that? The 40. I landed in New Guinea, in Buna, and I served for a while. And then I got sick. I needed surgery and stuff. You don't need the details, I don't think. And so they flew me back to the States. in. I spent 16 months in a hospital, so what date was it?
So it would have been 1945, 1946?
Well, it had to be 45, because I was 16 months in a hospital. So I flew me back to the States, and I had surgeries and everything else. And I got I got discharged with disability, 10% disability. And I went to school here at the university. Well, we were in Madison. I came back to Madison, so obviously I was going to go to school. I went to school under Public Law 16, which did World War I benefits. It's the 5 year. I got 5 years instead of the 4 years in the GI Bill. That was pointed out to me. So I personally didn't know anything about that, but the process going through the process, how it ended up. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into detail, but so I did. So I.
So you started school in 1946 at UW?
No. Yeah, I did start school in 46. No.
No. That's okay.
The dates, I can't. I couldn't start. I had a widow. I was discharged in 46. I had in March of 46. And I couldn't get into school right away because I wasn't. I had to wait a few months to be a resident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, it had to be 40, had to be 47. Then I got my first degree in business from mm-hmm. business school.
Mm-hmm.
And I took extra courses. I started going to law school, taking extra courses. So I got my business degree in 1950. And then I got my doctor's of law, or my law degree, in 52.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 52.
Mm-hmm. So why business for your degree?
It was recommended by, actually, I initially enrolled in pre-med, and then I was notified, if you want this detail, I was notified that the GI Bill, I would have to interrupt my benefits for 2 years before to pay for the schooling myself or my folks, and we couldn't do it. So I said, I had to change my focus. Instead of medicine, I had to go do something else. And so I took aptitude tests and whatever. They thought business and whatever. And so I enrolled in business school, and I got interested in law, and I said, I want to go to law. And I doubled up on courses. But to make a long story short, the total term would be 4 in business school and 3 in law school. That's 7 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did it in 5. I did it in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I got my degree, my law degree in 52.
Right.
Well, and I had competed, you know, at the university. I originally learned the sport of fencing in high school. I don't know if that's an interest to you or not.
It's of yes. interest to me, yes.
Yes.
Well,
thank you. This is my joke. That's a joke for the rest of you. If you want that detail, I can tell it to you. Where was I? I forgot.
Fencing in high school.
In high school. We had a biology teacher. His name was Wayne Hollick. who was had fenced at school. And so he had a club. And you know, in high school, you always have an activity period. So, well, that was fencing. So I decided to take up fencing. And you want to know why? But my dad didn't know anything about it.
The letter winner who had gotten 14 letters in high school. You chose a sport.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But they didn't have fencing up here at the Wisconsin high schools. And I have a record someplace of oh, it's on one of those pictures. It's on a, yeah, one of those pictures you looked at. So when I came here, I was on a bus one day, and I saw a fellow with a fencing bag, you know, equipment bag. So I tapped him on the shoulder. I says, "Is there fencing here?" He says, "Yes." I says, "Where?" I asked him where, and he says, "The Red Gym." Well, you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. So I go to, I get off the bus, city bus, and I had to take the bus incidentally because we were living on Rutledge Street. Of course, we had to take a bus down here to campus. I walk into the, for the first time, I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Red Gym or not. I walk in there for the first time, and out from the door comes a gal. And I later found out her name was Myrtle Morby. She was athletic director's secretary. She says, "Can I help?" I said, "Sure, I'm looking for fencing." She says, "It's up the stairs. It's very, very, very top where they have the handball courts. I don't know if you've ever been up there or not, on the third floor."
They've changed things a bit. But.
Well, I know that. The handball courts are up there. But there's two sports up there. There's fencing in one corner. There's gymnastics on another corner, away from the handball courts. And meet the coach and everything else and show them who I was and what I was doing. So he handed me a weapon. He says, "You know, I'm guard, do this, do that." Okay. That's how I started out fencing.
Do you remember what kind of weapon it was?
It's a foil. Yeah, because I was a foil one. And then, so that started it all. At that time, freshmen could not earn letters. They earned numerals, but freshmen could not be on a varsity squad at that time. So I couldn't get a letter, but I got three letters anyway, as a sophomore, you know, whatever. So I fenced in school. I suppose you want to know how I got to coaching.
We certainly do. Yes.
Well, by that time I was married, had a child, and I also had an apartment. I was still in law school. My second year of law. And like I mentioned to you before, that law school is normally a 7-year program, obviously. And most lawyers don't do this, but I got my undergraduate in the law graduate degree in 5 years. In 5 year time, under Public Law 16, I made it anyway. I was still in school. And I got a call from the athletic director. At that time, that was Guy Sunt, was the athletic director. He called me and said, "Why don't you come down, I want to talk to you about something." Well, I came down, and at that time I was informed that old coach Maisley, who started coaching at 27, but he was going to retire. What year was that? My goodness gracious.
When Maisley retired?
That had to be
51 or 52.
Yeah. Says you were asked to be head coach in 51.
I can tell you.
Well, they have notes that say 51, Dad.
Pardon?
Yeah, we have notes that say 51. You were asked to be the coach in 51.
Well, if you have that, I'll check it against this.
How about I take a look?
Yes, it turned to Wisconsin. So I went in, and I'm still in school. I wonder, well, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, I think the original intent was for me to coach this for a little bit, you know, maybe through school until they found a permanent replacement for Maisley. And so I did start coaching, and unfortunately, I had pretty good success. Put another way. But I enjoyed it. I didn't know anything about coaching. But I did. I started coaching. I had to be. I doubled up on my law courses and my finishing up my business courses and coaching at the same time.
So when you started, you weren't much older than the students you were teaching.
Well, I was much older than them. Don't forget, it was 4 years between high school and the university. I didn't go to university until I was 22. I was in the service. I must have been 22 years of age when I enrolled at the university.
We were all correct, by the way. Maisley retired in 1951. And you started in 1952.
Well, if you retired in 51, and I started in 51.
Crossover.
Yeah. Well, see the honor.
Maybe you retired after the 51 season. What can you tell me what season fencing was usually played in?
It's in the spring season.
Spring sport? Yeah.
But it starts at the beginning of school. Registration, which is in September. See, so I started in September of, well, it had to be 51, I would guess. It had to be, and so I had worked that in my school schedule, and they said we can take care of all that. I said fine, but I finished. So I got my undergraduate degree in 50. That's when I got my diploma. And it was 52 with the law, so. And I was taking both law courses and business courses and coaching at the same time. I had to.
And married with a child.
Well, yeah.
And I was born in 52, so I came along. We were living in a house by that time, a small house over by Hilldale. And so I came in 52. So he was busy.
Right, so two kids by the time. By 1952.
Yeah. So, anyway.
What other schools would you compete against?
Oh, a lot of them.
All the Big Ten.
Most of the Big Ten schools. A couple of them, but mainly the Big Ten. Michigan didn't have fencing. Minnesota didn't have fencing.
I see Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, Indiana, and Illinois.
Yeah.
Probably the original Big Ten.
Yeah, they're all. Yeah.
This is
16. They're all on here, as a matter of fact. So.
Archie, I know nothing about fencing. Can you tell me what a fencing, like when you're competing against another school, what does a fencing tournament or a match look like?
Well, we have three weapons, foil, saber, and FA. And I had them in my room. I'll show you what they look like. we have three strips of each. And each school, you compete against each other. It'll be nine guys. There'll be three guys in each weapon. You know, so it's just be a round robin. You compete against them, and the more you guys win, that's a total score.
See? So, if one of your team did really well, they would get more points. Was it if you won one match, that was just 1 point, or would you get the combined points of playing of?
Well, each guy would compete and against the other guys. Mm-hmm. See, if you're three guys, won all three matches, you got 3 points. Mm-hmm. Okay. Per match. See, you win by matches.
Okay.
Matches. Mm-hmm. So it'd be three matches of foil, saber, and an epic. So it'd be 12-9 matches. Mm-hmm. And if you win five out of the nine, you win the meet. Mm-hmm. And then when you have tournaments, you have more fencers and more competition and whatever.
Right. When you competed on campus, where was the meet held?
Auditorium.
Initially, up on the third floor. Yeah.
In the red gym? Huh? In the red gym?
Oh, yeah, up on the third floor. While the handball court may be in use, and then there's sometimes the gymnastics team on one side of the area, they'd be competing against another school, and we'd have our strips. And then after a while, the fencing moved out to the
next to the stadium.
New building.
The shell, camp Randall Memorials.
No. It's out past the tennis courts and.
The gymnasium natatorium on Observatory
Drive.
Natatorium,
yeah. The fencing was out there and continued on.
Did you, once it moved out there, did you practice out there and have meets out there?
Yes. Okay. Moved the whole operation out there.
Okay.
The natatorium, that's right, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they say that's getting too old.
Well, the track used to be, then fencing would be here. They'd have a white curtain, and track would be on the other side. And fencing's quiet, and then they'd be shooting the gun off.
Oh, sometimes.
Yeah, all of a sudden the gun would go off. So as kids, we were able to go around and we'd watch track for a while.
Well, sometimes we would have the fencing meet done in the
building next to the camp, Randall. What? Can't think of the name of it.
That's the shell.
The shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah, the shell.
Yeah. Sometimes later years.
When I was a kid, that's where we primarily went. Is the shell.
See, later years, that's where we moved out.
So red gym to nat to shell.
Yeah, I remember that when we were growing up.
Archie, when you started, had they implemented the electronic sensors for at least foil?
At the very end of my coaching career, they did. It became electronic. Thank goodness for that. Mm-hmm.
So how was it before the electronic?
Well, you had the fencing tournament, and we had a strip, and there'd be the four judges and the official and the referee would be directing the director, and and the two guys would be watching that bot guy, and two guys would be watching this guy, and they would acknowledge whether or not there was a touch, you know, where they had perivy post. And the director would determine whether or not that was on an attack or a perivy post or a maze or whatever like that. But it's all done up here, allegedly, when I was fencing. And then later on, they had the electronics. And then, of course, you could register on the machine whether or not the lights went on. You could tell which lights would go on first. The one might go on, the other, if you got a good hit, the other light couldn't go on, you know. But that's...
So when they brought in the electronic, there was this censored... The vest. Was there a cord running somewhere, or was it...
It's all long-lunch where you hook it up to your mask, well, depending which port it was. But foil was just the target, was just the torso. And so you hit the torso. But if you hit anything else, it wouldn't score. Mm-hmm. It'd be a foul. And then you had saber. And saber was the whole body as a target. Mm-hmm. You know, head to toe. And then epee is the whole body. But saber was a cutting weapon. You also could make a lunge. But basically, when you're fencing, you're cutting and slashing and pairing reports. It's a little more dramatic. Then epee had the touch, and then the tip would, if you hit somebody, you could tell by the plunge, point would plunge and make a contact, and register the score.
Was there a time limit on matches?
Well, it wasn't a time limit. It was a scoring. Mm-hmm.
So who reached a certain number of points?
That's right. Well, it's 5 points, you know.
Archie, are there athletes that you coached that stand out in your memory?
Yes, a lot of them. But I mean, here, my first Big Ten champion was a fellow by the name of Dr. Sergeant.
Eric Hyden. Jack Hyden.
Jack Hyden. And you know who his kids are.
Mm-hmm.
They're tremendous skaters.
Skaters. Well, Jack didn't teach him to skate. His father-in-law did, Art Thompson. Jack's wife was Art Thompson was a fire teacher at the university too, and he lived on the lake. And the kids would be over all the time. And those kids were skating out there on the lake. Jack, I should give you a little background. You know, fencing, in my experience with fencing, most of the fencers were high school athletes, but not good enough to make a varsity team at the university, you know, football and baseball, which is understandable, but they're athletes. And there's no way to express your athleticism, you know, except for fencing. And so my recruiting technique was registration day. It's not and you'll get a similar story from Jablonic or somebody for crew. On recruiting day, well, I was assigned a room in some building, maybe the ones, you know. And the students would be giving information that if you're interested in particularly athletics, if you're interested in athletics, fencing would be in room such and such and such a building. crew would also be another. But crew is a little different. So Sanju and Jablon did the same thing. They'd walk the lines. You know, the kids landing up, and Jablon, he's looking for kids about your size, but longer arms than you have. Mm-hmm. That's you know, and he'd tap him on the shoulder. And that's how he recruited. Well, I recruited, and I got this raw talent. Nobody knew anything about fencing. Three times I had somebody who had previous experience in high school. But in that classroom, there was nobody. And I had a classroom roster for one time of some fairly well-known people. And so later on, we're well-known people. But I had them in the classroom. And someone played football, baseball, basketball, and someone didn't compete in anything. In anything. And they signed up. Do I still have that roster?
I don't think it could be in your file.
There's a whole file
in there, different.
Anyway.
It's a freshman roster. I'll look for it.
Anyway, they sign up, and then I tell them when the instruction would begin on a daily basis and so forth, and give them the basic lesson. This is how you hold a weapon. This is how you do these things. But you know, some of the skips were champions, but they had absolutely no experience whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of sold me on it. And I continue with it. Mm-hmm. But you can't buy a feeling like that. You can't buy a feeling like that.
So is Jack Hayden
one
of those?
Yeah, he was. In high school, he was, I think it was track. His principal sport was track, and he was in foil. And he had no background in fencing or whatsoever, but he did have track experience. And he was my first Big Ten champion in foil. The foil.
So your athletes, would they just choose one weapon? Was there ever a crossover?
Well, this is how we did it. I decided what they were going to do. I started them out in foil. And then if I could see who's going to do what, I just take a chance and somebody give him saber lessons. And somebody with your kind of build, taller fellows, longer arms, epi. And it worked. Mm-hmm.
So Jack Hayden was a foil champion. Did you have epee or saber champions too?
Oh yeah, I've had saber and epee champions. I'm trying to remember. Oh, my brain doesn't work.
Well, one year it was almost a national championship team, right? You finished third?
Yeah. I got a picture of the trophy in my apartment. I got it. But we finished third. That was in Detroit, in NC2As. Mm-hmm. His mother was... His father was a professor at the university. His mother was...
Is it Charlie?
No. Maybe.
Is it on the trophy?
No. Okay. Anyway, we got a third place trophy, yes. Mm-hmm.
So that year you must have had more than one good...
Well, yeah, I had three good guys.
Were they in each...
Oh, yeah, one. my epic guy was kind of fell down. And he lost the last damn boat. And of course, well, it was a close belt. Anyways, that was, if he had won, we won the championship. Hmm. But Navy won instead. Mm-hmm.
So why did you, you did it, I think, for almost 20 years. Why did you decide to retire when you did?
I was elected judge. You know, I'm a lawyer. Mm-hmm. That's how I made my living. And that was in 72, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
That's yeah, when you were elected to judge.
Yeah, 72.
Yeah.
Yes, this does.
I don't know how much detail you want, but I had no intention. My wife and I, one of the things I got involved in, I helped reorganize the NC2A organization. And I assisted in some things there. Walt Byers was the NC2A, the officers used to be in Kansas. Mm-hmm. You know, now they moved to Indianapolis.
Right.
And so, and the only reason I got elected because I was a coach and I was also a lawyer. And as a consequence, I had the opportunity to do things on both sides, you know. Mm-hmm.
So did you reorganize the NCAA stuff when you were still a coach?
It was the NCAA organization. We moved the headquarters from, I think it was Kansas City at that time, Indianapolis and some other things, you know. Mm-hmm. And during that process, they felt that they should thank me somehow or other. So I got a... At least I got tickets to the Alabama, Nebraska football. I forgot what bowl they call it. It was in Miami. Mm.
Orange? The Orange Bowl?
I can't remember that detail anyway. And so it's the New Year's Eve. It was the New Year's Day game. Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I went down there and we got a, and saw the parade and went to the game and came back home. And when I got back home to my law office, I had some lawyers waiting for me, and they wanted me to run for judge. Well, they talked me into it. They said they'd do everything. I'd be damned if I didn't win. Well, then I had to unload everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to quit coaching, and what was it you asked me about? Why did you?
The NC2A organization.
Well, that's
the reorganization.
Well, I've done a lot since then. And I just finished my last project this past year at the Olympic, reorganized the Olympics. That's another story.
Would love to hear it.
Well, do we have that? You should keep that file.
I've got some things on the Olympics here.
These are just from games.
It's a pretty big file.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge.
Well, I'm getting way ahead of the story.
I'm sorry.
You don't want me to do that.
So maybe since we have a couple more minutes, maybe a couple more things about fencing. Before we,
anyway, that terminated my fencing. I had a new coach and everything else, and then the athletic director says, "I don't know anything about fencing. I don't know who's available." So I had to pick out a coach for him and bring him here. So I did that. That's Tony Gill. I brought him up. And
was he a former student of yours, or
no? He's an Englishman that lived in Milwaukee. He worked in Beloit, but he also was a fencer. Mm-hmm. And I just took a chance on him, and he he turned out to be a pretty good coach.
Had you met him before?
Pardon?
Had you met him before?
Oh, yeah.
In the circuit?
Yeah. In competition, yeah. He was in the fencing area all the time. And so we started off him. And not only that, but I had to sell real estate, get rid of my stuff, my investments. That's another story.
You also, during your, in the mid-50s, had polio and was quite, pretty serious.
Well, anyway, it's
so that came up, and he survived that.
That's how I got out of coaching, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Can I ask a question not about fencing then, while we have a minute or two?
Right.
So you went to law school, but I mean, why did you decide to be, obviously going to law school is to be a lawyer. Why did you want to be a lawyer?
Because I had a law degree.
Okay. But why did you want to go to law school then? I mean, why, you had a degree in business. Why law is a...
Well, I had... My uncle worked for Kimberly Clark Corporation. He had, where his home was, and next door to him lived the president of Kimberly Clark.
In Nina Menasha.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's up on the lake. You went there. Mm-hmm. It's,
yes.
It's at the corner of Fox River, comes into the Winnebago, in that area there. And my conversations with them. I got to know them, and they advised me that if I'm not going to go to med school, get into business and everything, and they kind of influenced me in that respect when I switched from pre-med to school of business and law school. That's where I got the, because they gave me several hints that there might be an opportunity. You know, I went primarily into business,
mm-hmm.
See. And particularly if I went into corporate work, with business background, all that stuff, and law school, mm-hmm. Be an advantage.
Did you focus on corporate law then when you were in law school?
Well, I didn't focus on any law other than what they offered. You focus in that way when you begin your practice. But yes, it would be business school. It would help tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my incentive.
Okay.
In that respect. Oops.
I mentioned, Dad, that you had polio during your early coaching years, too.
Survived that.
I mean, that was amazing.
I don't know if they want to know.
Well, it's just amazing because fencing was really what strengthened his leg, and he had no, achy joints and achy calves. But he survived. I mean, not everybody did back in that time.
Right.
Yeah, that was a bad event. I put in a driveway. I had a gravel driveway before, and I wanted a concrete driveway. I knew nothing about doing it, but I was going to learn. And the neighbor kid, and there was another kid down the street. They were with me at the time. You know, they looking to see what I was doing or whatever. Well, it's the same day. As a Saturday, and did I get sick that night? And the following morning, I was stiff as a board. See, pretty much. And a family doctor came to the house, I think. He lived down the street, and he looked at me. He says, "You know, maybe what was happening to me." And those two kids got polio. There was three kids. And another lady, there's five of us that came down polio the same night. I'm the sole survivor of that group. But they had me in a hospital, and the kids came to visit me. They had to stand outside
outside the hospital, Madison General, look in the window because you couldn't go in. I mean, it was it was down on first floor back in the day.
On University Avenue?
At Brooks Madison, which is Meritor.
Mm. Oh, okay.
It was a Madison General originally. Mm-hmm. But he was in an iron lung. He arrested a few times. One or two times did you have an arrest, Dad? Cardiac arrest. Was it one time you had a cardiac arrest? Or was that in the service? I thought it was when you were in the iron lung.
I was in bed, and they're waiting. You know, when you have porter, you have group muscles that go out all at once. And I was in bed. I don't know if your kids were outside the window at that time or not.
But I don't remember that.
But I had to be resuscitated. You know, then they said I had, because the only hospital that had iron lungs was the Madison General Hospital, and they're looking for an iron lung for me. Mm. But I passed out, and so the doctor had to, you know, resuscitate me. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up, he was straddling me.
You can say it. You can say what he said to you.
So
he made it clear.
Anyway, I survived.
Mm-hmm. He did survive.
But as a consequence, I couldn't go up and down the steps at
Red Gym.
The Red Gym, and so the football team. There's an auxiliary track. If you've been over there, on a level floor, they gave me a corner for my fencing team while the football team practiced up around us. it worked out.
That was nice of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find it harder to practice when you were near a track team or a football team?
Pardon?
If you were near a track team at one time practicing, sharing the space, versus practicing next to a football team, which was easier?
I didn't look at it. I didn't have any problems either way.
The track meets were actually meets going on.
They were actual meets.
Yes.
They were.
So you got to use space.
That was over in the
shell. At the shell.
At the shop.
At the shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not only with the track team, sometimes the baseball team be in there.
Yikes. That's funny.
Oh, well, we made out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I need to wrap up, particularly if we're going to go in and want to see the...
Yeah, they want to see your...
So we're gonna stop the recording for now. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.